Good evening. All right. I'm here this evening because Joe asked me to talk about specific Psalms, Psalms 37. And if you read Psalms 37, you'll read something that David wrote later in his life. And in it, you'll see the comparisons that he made between the good man and the evil man, the righteous and the wicked, the blameless and the wrongdoers, God's people and the sinners of this world. What you'll read is that no matter what happens in this world, God's people will triumph, and those without God will always end up with nothing. That even though evil seems as though it has the upper hand, even though the wicked people of this world always seem like their lives are just the way they want it to be, that they think that they have more, and that they think that they have a right to take more, that no matter what, in this world, God is in control. And that we can trust in God's promises that he will not let us perish like the sinners of this world. In verse 9, David writes, "For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." And we can see a few things that David is trying to get our attention about. In the first few verses, he says, "Do not fret." And then later on, he says again and again, "Do not fret." And he's talking about looking at the evil people of this world. And that even though it seems that they have power, and that the ways of evil and sin may seem easier, more pleasant, and more the people will be more prosperous, he says that they will be destroyed, withered like the grass of this world. Because in reality, the righteous man has more than the wicked man. Because God is the real power of this world. And with that understanding, that mindset of not worrying, it comes from trusting in God. David writes, "Trust and rest in the Lord." And in that resting, there is no room to worry, but just to trust in the Lord. And in that trust, that we may find a resting peace. That even though when we look at this world, and when we see evil, and when we see people ignoring God, when we see people turning away, and that when we try to examine this world with our own understanding, that we can't make sense of it. But God tells us not to lean on our own understanding. We can trust that God is in control. Again, David calls us to wait patiently for God on his promises. The idea that we live in this world and we expect things to happen now, we expect things to come for us because we have this sense that we deserve it. We live in a culture where if you work for something, then you get rewarded. But that's not always the case. And it can seem confusing that even though we are following God's will, we can see that those who don't follow God's will get what they want. Whereas it seems that we are lacking. But in truth, we can't understand God's plan. And David is calling for us to trust and wait for God. He says that we will see the ungodly men of this world. We will see their plans fall to the wayside. And God will give us the desires of our hearts. It may not seem like it, but our patience is part of God's plan. And in the end, it's more important that God's will be done than our own. In verse 16 and 17, he writes, "Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." And in verse 24, he writes, "Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." This idea that our lives are difficult, but God is not going to let us fall to the wayside. That God has a plan for us, and that God has promised us salvation. And in the end, he writes in verses 49 and 40, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him." He finishes with that part. And the important part to understand is "because they take refuge in him." That understanding that without God, we are nothing. We are just like the sinners who in the end will have nothing if we do not take refuge in Christ. But how are we to live a life without worthy? Without worrying. How are we to trust restfully and wait patiently on the Lord? And in this comparison throughout the psalm, when he's talking about the good man and the evil man, what makes them different, he writes in the very beginning, verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good." And again, he writes, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way." God calls us to do good in the world and to spread his word, to trust him and he will give you strength to go out into this world, a world that is filled with these unrighteous, wicked, evil people. And yet God is calling us to go out there and be righteous, to be good in his name. To do the right thing when God is calling you to do action in his name. It's not enough just to be a good person, just to do good things. But you have to go out and do it in his name. Again, when I reference at the end, because they take refuge in him, because they live a life in God. That is what separates them from the evil man. It's not the good deeds that they do, but God's power. And that we understand that the word of God does not spread to those if you choose to be silent and live without action. Jesus left us as an example of what a good person is to do. To love everyone regardless of who they are and what they do. To love the sinners of this world. To love the lost of this world. And to love the wicked men of this world. Because just like us, they are lost in this world. And they can only see what's in front of them. They only see the limited joy that this world has to offer them. They can only see what they can take. And that's because they don't have the understanding of Christ. And if we are not the good people, not the example that goes out into this world to show them, then they are never going to see it and they will always be lost. We are not called to hate those who do not understand Christ. We are called to love them anyways, to be God's example. That even though we may disagree with them, that their lives are important to God. And our mission is to show them God's love through our love. God calls us to help those in the world, to be there for them, to help them, to comfort them, and to serve. From the very beginning of the psalm, David is calling us to do two things: to trust in the Lord and to go out and be godly people. And we can understand that if we do not trust in God, then there is no way that we can do what is right. And if we do not do what is right, then we have no right to trust God, for we are lost without him. And we examine in this psalm that trusting God can fill your life with peace, the peace that God provides. When we live without God, and we live without this trust, we let anxiety fill into our minds, the uncertainty of what our decisions will lead us. We are uncertain of the coming storms of life and where we will end up when they pass. Yet if we truly trust in God, knowing that no matter how bad the storm can be, that he will always be, and we will always end up where God has planned for us to be, that in the end, we have this security in God. And it is that belief that will bring peace into your heart, the peace of mind that knowing that God has your back. We are called to lay our burdens at the cross, giving our worries to God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31, it reads, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It is our patience and our trust and our understanding in God that will renew our strength, and he will give us the strength to move forward. And then in Deuteronomy verses 31 through 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, because the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you." It is this idea that we have to be reminded of constantly, that we live in our time, in our world, and we can only see what is truly in front of us. But God doesn't live on our time. God lives on God's time. That even though we try, even though we guess, we cannot fully understand God's will. And it's easy for me to say that we should live a life without worry, patiently trusting in God, because he will bless those who follow him. But what does that mean? How do you ignore the anxiety of your life? How do you accept that your life, you truly don't have control? And my advice is to live day by day, because focusing on the future won't change the future. The future is how God has designed it to be. We are living in God's world, not our world. We are not perfect, and we are not without mistakes in life. But we have to understand that Jesus did not die on the cross for the perfect people of this world. He was the only perfect person of this world. He died for those of us that stumble, so that he could make sure that we don't fall. Every day, you will experience trials. Some may be bigger than others, but the world is full of bad things. and whether you believe that God is testing you, or you're worried that God isn't there for you. But you have to understand that this world is filled with imperfect people, and that we live in imperfect situations, and that the evil men of this world use those imperfect situations to do things for themselves and to do what gives them more power and more control. But God has this to say, that this world will pass away, that our lives will pass away, and that we cannot take whatever we have taken in this world out of this world, that beyond this world lies God. And in this psalm, David states that only the righteous will see God's glory fulfilled. I urge you to think about this passage when you see evil in this world, when you see the wicked men gain control, gain power, when it seems like you have none, when it seems that the things that you've worked so hard for in your life are just out of your reach, when it seems like the ungodly have what you want and you have none. I urge you to look beyond the physical and see God, because God says, those that honor me, I will honor, but those that despise me will be destroyed. In this psalm, in verses 21 through 22, David writes, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. Although it may seem easier, the life of the wicked, although it may seem like they have all the power, David is calling us to trust in God, to trust that those that are without God will always end with nothing, that there is nothing beyond this life without God, that God loves you, that he loves those who honor him, he loves those that take refuge in him. He loves you because you love him, because you are his servant, and he has promised to bless his patient, obedient followers. I'd like to be able to stand and sing.